Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Pedro Mora of The Athletic for joining us there to talk some baseball. Kirk Morrison will talk some football with us at 1130. There's a lot of draft stuff going on. At 1115, before Kirk, Mackenzie Graham will join us. She's our senior shout-out from Concordia College, right? She's a softball player, catcher, and she's headed to Baylor to study medicine, which is fantastic, and certainly we need more of that right now. So we're looking forward to talk to Mackenzie Graham in just a little bit as well. So we've been talking about Clayton Kershaw saying he's not into this deal of playing in Arizona, not going to do it, not having it, not interested. And here's the direct quote: "I just don't see it happening. I'm not going to be away from my family and not see them for 4.5 months. I just talked about how much my son Cooper changes, you know, 1 week. So to miss 4 months of his life right now, I'm just not going to do it. And then there's a lot of other things that are wrong with the proposal, but it's not to say we can't go somewhere with it. It's just that there are a lot of things that have to be figured out before I go quarantine myself with my team for 4 months." So clearly people have been discussing this. We've been discussing it. Look, I just think that I get the family part of it. Trust me, I have a young family. But I think that ultimately, you got to make a decision. And if you do get the green light somehow, if you're Major League Baseball, if it involves Clayton Kershaw, great. If it doesn't involve Clayton Kershaw, fine. Just, you got to move on. You know, that's the reality of the sport. Life needs to move on. If you're indeed capable of playing a season and the health officials give you the okay, you go with it. And however that needs to be done, whether that's to mobilize the economy in some ways, whether that's to provide an escape for this country and for guys who need to get paid, then you do it. And if you have to call up minor leaguers because stars don't want to play, then you do it. Stranger things have happened. We've heard about World War II. Callers have called in about that. We've had strike-shortened seasons. There have been scab players in sports before. This wouldn't be scabs. You're actually playing with real players because there's going to be real players that want to play because they're going to want to get paid because their families need the income. Because just because you make more doesn't mean you don't spend more. You don't have a mortgage payment. You don't have bills to pay. Now, some guys make so much money that it doesn't really matter. They can sit out a year. But not everybody can do that. So that's the reality of it. And again, I'm not trying to, it's not an apples to apples comparison. But considering if you're a professional athlete and you're being put in this biosphere, in this bubble with the health professionals that you'd be working with, which are some of the best in the world who happen to work for teams, then you're in a much better position than our own healthcare workers, who we should be thankful for each and every day, who are working in the front lines. Even the great folks that are working in grocery stores and delivering stuff for us, and FedEx, UPS, the Postal Service, all that stuff. Like, all those people. Like, that's a different perspective right there. Those people don't have or won't have or wouldn't have the ability to be tested as regularly as athletes would. So you got to put it in the proper context too. So 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. We were just talking about the Michael Jordan doc. I mentioned that every Sunday after the Jordan doc, The Last Dance airs. It's going to air from 6 to 8 every Sunday. At 8 o'clock, Sliwa and I will be doing a Last Dance recap show on the ESPN Los Angeles social media accounts. And you'll be able to watch it there on Twitter, and we'll chat about it. But it was released that Kobe did his interview for the doc, which is wild, man. It's still hard for me to talk about Kobe in the past tense. I know we talked a lot about him yesterday because we ran the last 3 minutes of his final game, of his 60-point performance against Utah. It's still weird to talk about him in the past tense. But he taped his part of the documentary a week before his passing. And we now all know what that relationship with him and Jordan was like. So it's going to be incredible to be able to watch Kobe in that documentary at some point. And my guess is, because, you know, it's, I believe, 5 weeks, my guess is Kobe is sprinkled all over it, to be honest with you. Because those interviews, remember, just because they sit down and do these long-form interviews for a documentary doesn't mean that the people in these documentaries aren't spread out through all the different parts of the documentary, because they'll talk about all sorts of different aspects of their relationship with a particular person or a particular team, or in this particular case, the competition, the relationships Kobe had with Michael and maybe Scotty and some of the guys and Phil, right? There's so many connection points there. So it'll be fascinating to see Kobe there, and, you know, also a little bittersweet, right? So it'll be something you can watch on Sundays, The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan Bulls documentary. On a lighter note, I got to give Michael Thompson some credit, Greg Bergman. Michael Thompson, when I was doing the morning show, said that Christian McCaffrey would not only be the best back out of his draft class, that he could be the best running back in the NFL because of his versatility. And now he's being paid like the best running back in the NFL because of his versatility.
I think if there's one thing that we learned from the time that we've been at ESPN and with Michael Thompson, he's not wrong very often. I mean,
well, I don't know about that either. Let's not go over the top. It's not that he's not wrong often, because he's wrong plenty. But when he's right, when he doubles and triples down on something, he's usually right about it.
Right, because I mean, this isn't just in football, especially. He called Lamar Jackson. He called Christian McCaffrey. I mean, when he picks guys that are going to be great in the NFL, and he's been right so far. I mean, I'm going to give him a little bit of credit for this.
That's he did. He fought. I remember he fought Key a lot on Christian McCaffrey when I was doing the morning show, and you know, they would have some fun with it for a number of different reasons. It would go along racial lines, and they would have a racial discussion all of a sudden, but in a fun way, in a joking way, as only Michael Thompson and Key could do. I got to give him love. I got to give him love. As a matter of fact, get Michael Thompson on tomorrow, because me and Momo will be on tomorrow. We want to talk to Michael Thompson. I know we already have Tim Kirkjian, but get Michael Thompson on tomorrow, because I want him to gloat. Tell him George wants you to come on to gloat about Christian McCaffrey being the best running back in the NFL because you called it from the beginning. So I want to give him his props. I want to do that.
Make sure that you mention Lamar Jackson too, because he was absolutely
he was on Lamar Jackson. Yes, he was on Lamar Jackson.
He was upset how long it took teams to pick him up. So for the fact that the Ravens were so good last year with them,
yeah.
Give him his credit.
Yeah. So the one thing about the Christian McCaffrey thing, though, that I would be cautious about is now his current production deserves best running back in the business money, but I'm worried moving forward only because the average lifespan of a running back is only 3.5 years. So, and granted, that factors in guys who play forever and guys who, you know, barely play, right? But it is the most interchangeable position in the sport. So from a financial perspective, with a salary cap sport, that would worry me a little bit. But I do think that you got to reward him in some way, shape, or form. I haven't seen how the contract has been structured, so my guess is the Panthers, if they're smart, have created outs for themselves, more so than maybe the Rams did with Todd Gurley, because we just witnessed all of that and how that unfolded. He went from the guy who finished second in the MVP voting to being cut in a couple of years. Like, life comes at you fast in that sport.
Yeah, that's the things. Like, Ezekiel Elliott just got a big deal. It doesn't have – I'm looking up his contract right now. It doesn't have all of the information about it. All it says is 4 years, $64 million, which is pretty strong. But, yeah, the first thing when I saw that, I thought, oh, my goodness. This isn't going to turn out well when it's all said and done, because running backs just don't pan out for the length of the contract. Ezekiel, right. It's kind of the same. He's still good, but it wasn't a great year for him last year. It's just how it's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think some of that was they were trying to push Dak as kind of the guy who the straw that stirs the drink there. Right. And look, there'll be plenty of Cowboy talk beginning at noon. So, I mean, we don't have to go too deep into it, but I think that played a big role in it. when it came to Zeke. And I still think Zeke is really good at what he does. I'm less of a fan of Dak Prescott. But by the way, Dak Prescott also a dope for having a dinner party during a pandemic. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, seriously, dude?
Yeah, you had 30 people there and you had a buffet. Like, yeah, you're just telling people to be just get stuff all over the food. It's just nuts. Just nuts.
Just really, really silly. Here's something I wanted to do here, but I'm going to wait to do it tomorrow with Momo. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine who's a Laker fan, and I was asking him which was the best team that Shaq and Kobe beat. Because we were talking about the Jordan doc, right? And we were talking about like the teams that Michael Jordan had to go through, and we were comparing them to LeBron, right? And where Jordan played tougher opponents in the first round, like I wonder if, you know, like in the finals, you know, LeBron played those Warriors teams, right? Like, but Jordan played a lot of great teams who won 60 games too. So we got into that, and then it just evolved into the teams that Shaq and Kobe beat. But let's save that for tomorrow. Are you cool with that?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm trying to think about it. That it's the finals weren't so much of the problem as much as
no, it's the conference finals.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The conference. Yeah, the conference finals were the tough ones.
Right. Right. Yeah. For sure. But it just kind of led me down that rabbit hole of teams and who were the best teams that certain teams that won championships beat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Do it with Momo.
Yeah. So we'll do it tomorrow with Momo. By the way, we were talking earlier about delivery people and giving them love. And if you use a delivery service in any way, shape or form, you know, Grubhub or Postmates or, you know, Instacart or whatever, make sure you tip those people well. Obviously they're putting their life on the line. Pardon me. I meant to say, for you in a lot of ways, right? Like it's a strange world we're living in and a dangerous one at that. And I saw this story today. Did you see a story about the delivery person that was delivering an Amazon box or something like that, that went the extra mile by sanitizing and wiping down a package after seeing a note on the door that the family said the girl there that's living there, the young girl, little girl, has an autoimmune disorder. So the guy was bringing the package to the front door, saw the note, went back to the truck, wiped it down with like a Clorox wipe, the entire box, and then left it back there and left the note and said, I wiped it down.
Yeah, that was incredible. And really just a way to go the extra mile for that guy. I mean, I love the fact that, first of all, the family is putting on there, hey, autoimmune disease for my child.
Yeah.
On the wall there. And then also the guy going back and forth. That's great. It was such a wonderful thing to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. So, I mean, look, there are some good people out there. So we want to shout them out as much as we can. Hey, speaking of shouting them out, time for a senior shout out, Mackenzie Graham of Concordia Softball. She'll join us in just a second. Stick around for that. Don't forget Kirk Morrison at 11:30. We'll talk some football with him. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. It's time for our senior shout out. Again, if you want to nominate someone, you can do so at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Just send us their first and last name, city, school, and sport. And then, of course, you can do so as well by sending a video on our social media channels, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Today's senior shout out is Mackenzie Graham of Concordia. She is a softball player, D2 softball player, and a catcher on the team. And transitioning from playing college softball to going on to study at Baylor University. Mackenzie, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope everyone at home is safe and sound.
Thank you for having me. We're all doing good here in Yorba Linda.
Okay, great. Great to hear. So tell me about just your season, right? Like just kind of how it all unfolded, how you got the word about everything that was happening. Like just explain to me how it was all bestowed upon you.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy. Obviously unexpected. Who could have thought that this could happen? But we were having a really good season so far. We were 17-5. Previous two seasons, we won PacWest Conference, so we were going to have a good run. And we played two games, and the next day, our coach brought us in for a meeting and told us, and obviously we were pretty bummed out, pretty sad about what has happened. So.
What was the highlight of your season? Was it the I know you had a big home run, you know, towards the end of February. What was the highlight of the season for you this year?
You know, I think just the best part about Concordia softball and playing for Concordia softball is the team culture. I can't really name a specific game or anything that happened that would be the best, because overall, just the experience of playing with my teammates and how we care for one another is just literally the highlight every single season. And kind of what makes us unique is that team culture and that value of each other.
Give me an example of that culture when you all were playing and you know, maybe whether it was on the field or off the field, just some fun stuff that you all would do together.
You know, I think the best part is just how much everybody celebrates each other's successes. Everybody on the team has a specific role, whether that is you're a starter, you're cheering for each other, you're going to come in for a pinch run. You're going to come in for a sack bunt. We have a player, Nicole Lukenbeil, who came in against Biola and had a sack bunt, which turned into a double, and it was awesome. And everybody just celebrates each other and their role. Just the selflessness that our teammates have for each other is really amazing.
And how do you think that will help you kind of moving forward with the rest of your life, really?
You know, I think the lessons that I've learned from playing for Concordia and how to be selfless, how to handle adversity, I think that prepared me for what has happened with our season being cut short. You can't dwell on the past. As much as I would love to play softball again, it makes me sad that this happened, but you know, there's so much more to life and we got to look forward and keep chugging along. So, the future for me, I'm going to go to Baylor and I'm going to earn a PhD in chemistry. So that's I got some big things coming my way. So it isn't the end of the world.
That's awesome. That is awesome to hear. But you were granted an extra year of eligibility, right? So you chose to forego that. What went into that decision?
What really went into it was just the variability that would come if I stayed at Concordia to play another year. It's not guaranteed that I would get accepted to the graduate programs that I was accepted to. The offers don't stand. I'd have to reapply.
Gotcha.
And just to go through that process, it's too big of an opportunity to pass up.
All right, so let's get to that. Let's talk about your graduate program at Baylor. So what was that like when you got the acceptance?
It was really exciting. I got a number of graduate schools that I applied to. I got accepted. And, you know, I've worked for this and I've gotten so many opportunities through Concordia to be able to apply to graduate school. I didn't even think I was going to go to graduate school when I came in as a freshman. It wasn't really on my radar. And I had a professor kind of take me under my wing or under his wing and mentor me. I did research with him and he was like, I think you would be a really good PhD candidate. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And so it was just really exciting for me, for my family. I'm going to be the first one to go to graduate school. And I chose Baylor because of the Christian environment that I'm going to be in. Concordia University was a Lutheran school, and I really enjoyed that. And so the Christian environment at Baylor, I think, is something that I'm going to look forward to.
Mackenzie Graham joining us here, Concordia softball, senior catcher there, going to Baylor University to earn her PhD in chemistry. And look, certainly no time better than the present, right? Considering what we're dealing with, that we need people like you. So I'm certainly happy that's the path you've chosen. Is it something that what we're dealing with now, does that motivate you maybe even further?
I think so. The sciences are really important to our society, and that's kind of why I chose to go to graduate school and keep pursuing my education. I want to be able to have an impact on the world in a positive light and to use my intellectual abilities to be able to impact people. And yes, I would say this is a motivating factor for sure.
How would you move forward, I guess, maintaining those relationships? Like, how have you been able to maintain your current relationships at the moment? Are you doing Zoom or Skype, FaceTime, just calling people more regularly? How are those things going?
Yes, Zoom is a big part of it. We had not too long ago, we had a team Zoom chat We all got to talk to each other, which was really nice. I've been keeping up with my teammates on FaceTime, Snapchat, all that kind of stuff. But Concordia softball is kind of, it's a program that when you are done playing softball, you're not out of the program. Our alumni are strong. They always come back for alumni day, always in touch. I mean, it's just a really good family environment. So I know that even though I'm graduating and leaving, I know I'm going to be part of this Concordia family for a long time.
That's fantastic to hear, certainly. Yeah. I was just going to ask you, what when you go to Baylor, you know, obviously you're going to be very busy with academics, but I was going to ask you if there was going to be any other opportunities for you to still participate in athletics, whether that was intramurals or maybe something like you just mentioned. Would that be something that you'd be interested in some capacity?
You know, sports have been a huge part of my life, so I'm going to stay active when I go to Baylor. I don't know what that's going to look like yet. I don't think I'm going to use that eligibility to play collegiate softball at Baylor, but I'm going to stay active. I've always wanted to try kickboxing, so maybe I'll try that.
Awesome. That's awesome stuff. Mackenzie Graham joining us here, Concordia softball catcher senior. Well, Mackenzie, we're super proud of you and all that you've accomplished both on the field and academically speaking, and we're certainly rooting for you moving forward. Best of luck at Baylor, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great opportunity to talk about our softball program, our coaches, Crystal and Rose. You know, they really push me to be the best I can be, and got to give them a shout out for sure.
Absolutely. Glad you were able to do it. Thanks again for joining us, Mackenzie.
Thank you. Bye.
All righty. Take care. There she is, Mackenzie Graham of Concordia, our senior shout out. Coming up in a couple of moments, our buddy Kirk Morrison will stop by. We'll switch gears and talk NFL draft and talk about all the Christian McCaffrey contract, all that stuff that's going on, what happened with the Rams and Gurley and Brandon Cooks. We'll get into all that stuff with Kirk here in a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Mackenzie Graham, who was our senior shout-out today, up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kirk Morrison going to join us here in a sec. Just let me know. I got to talk to Mason because our boy Chris Cuomo just signed a extension at CNN. When we used to do Purgatory, we were all we had to get after it. That was our mantra, thanks to Chris Cuomo.
Oh yeah, that was I don't remember that. You said it a few times on a broadcast, right?
I said it. They didn't like the way I said it because I didn't say it the right way. They wanted me to say it, but yes, Ireland also did it on a broadcast too.
That's a great bit. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I also did.
Let's get after it.
The Lebatard show, I used to have to sneak in. Izzy and I were like trying to sneak in show lines that the audience would send us all the time. And
what's the craziest one that you had to say?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. There were so many of them. Like I did one night, I remember doing Bulls at Sixers in Philly. And I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, this is a game. Like, this game is like not going to be that competitive. So I text their producer and I said, every time I'm on the air today, I'm going to sneak one of your show lines in. And I did it. I went 5 for 5. I did like, I pitched the perfect game. It was incredible. I felt
never
really
to be done again. Yeah, never to be done again. Someone else just did it the other day, right? Or a couple weeks, months ago.
I don't know. I know it was Ariel Helwani doing a lot. Oh, Ariel Helwani did one once. Yeah, Helwani did one once. But he was afraid because, you know, it's not like his normal gig. But he stuck it in. Look, the key to doing it is doing it in a way where it doesn't seem forced. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just have to weave it into whatever you would normally say and make it sound like it's part of what you were actually trying to say, you know, while kind of doing a little wink to the audience.
Yeah, you think that Kirk Morrison could get that on one of his broadcasts?
I don't know. Let me. Next football season, if we have a football season, Kirk Morrison, I'm going to have our audience feed you lines that you need to work into your college football broadcasts. I don't hear Kirk. Just FYI,
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
What up, dude?
What up, man?
How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm good. So would you do that for us? If indeed we have a college football season, will you let the audience, you can pick which one. We will give you opportunities to pick lines that the audience would like you to weave into your broadcast. Now you have 3.5 hours in college football. Like that, right. That's a lot of time to work a line in.
Yeah, I've found ways to get certain, I guess, cultural references in a ball game. I've done that before, George. So I'm up for the challenge. I've seen you do it. You've done it comfortably. You've kind of, you know, weaved your way through it. And so I feel like that's something that a challenge that I gladly accept.
Okay, we'll work on that once we get closer to the season. Everyone safe and sound, yes?
Yeah, it's been great. I didn't know I was such a great teacher, George. That's the one thing I'm learning.
Uh-oh.
Everyone's going to come out of this coronavirus pandemic, quarantine life with a new skill and a new trade. And so I'm going to let some universities here on the West Coast know that I am a free agent in it, when it comes to the teaching aspect.
Right.
I just didn't know I had it in me the way that I do. I'm a great teacher.
I know.
I'm learning, especially
teaching,
with the young elementary, you know, younger kids.
Yes.
So
yeah, teaching little ones is hard. Okay.
Oh,
like, so if
it
you got
difficult.
That, yeah, if you got that in your blood, go ahead and get some. You know what I'm saying? Like, go do it.
Yes. And, so the letter of the week, by the way, George, is the letter S.
Okay.
Okay. So we've been using, you know, shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shopping, you know.
Sedano Show.
There we go. That's another S word we'll be using
in
today's afternoon session.
Yeah, Daddy's went on the Sedano Show. There you have it. There's S. Yeah. So that's good to hear. But yeah, I'm with you. My daughter also going through twice a week Zoom, kindergarten on Zoom for about 30 minutes. That's interesting. That is
interesting
to watch.
Especially with all the kids are going at one time. And luckily, they do have an all mute button because it's like 30 kids trying to talk at one time.
Yeah. That's what our teacher definitely does. She throws the all mute real quick. And then because if not, it's just going to be, hi, so-and-so, hi, mm-hmm. so-and-so, hi, so-and-so, hi, so-and-so.
Yeah.
It's like 10 minutes of that. Anyway, let's talk some football. Christian McCaffrey is the highest paid running back. Now, look, his workload, I think, deserves it. But we've seen running backs, the most interchangeable position in the sport. There's no question about that. How do you feel about that particular contract?
I've always said this, George, that, you know, maybe around the league, teams may feel differently about the position. But the actual team that you're with, they understand what you mean to the team. So I think when you look back at Ty Gurley, when he was the highest paid running back, people said, why would you do that? But to the Rams at the time, Ty Gurley was their team. He was their MVP. He was their offense. Everything went through him. And the contract, I thought, was okay for the team. Now, a couple of years down the road, everyone can say, see, you shouldn't have did it. But they were doing it because the worth of Ty Gurley to that team, that's where it was. And you look at Christian McCaffrey. You take him off the Carolina Panthers, George, I'm telling you, they're a team that's playing in the SEC. Let's just be honest. I mean, they're a college football team, and Christian McCaffrey was everything. And for those people who were fantasy owners, they saw the production with him despite not having Cam Newton, had Kyle Allen at quarterback. His production did not dip. He was still one of the outstanding players in the league last year. So he's only getting kind of what he's earned. And I think that's what the trend is in the NFL. If a guy's earned a contract, why not give him to him for a couple years? And then 2 years later, you're able to get out of the contract, similar to the Rams. So I think he's earned it. And it just goes to show that if he's the best player on the team, you reward him.
Yeah, I agree with that part of it because he's certainly earned it.
Right.
I think I'm curious to see what the structure looks like, right? Like how soon they can get out of it. Because I think because of the Gurley experience and the Rams being on the hook for some of that cash, that I think teams will utilize that as an example of maybe what not to do so much, you know?
Right. Well, and I also think that with Matt Rhule now as the head coach in Carolina, he does have a college background, but he also understands that you're going to need more than one guy or to be the running back. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is going to be the bell cow. He will be your guy, your number one, but you still need a number two and a number three and to give up some of those carries. When Christian McCaffrey is needed in the beginning of a game, a couple plays throughout the second and third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, he'll be ready to go. That's how you preserve a guy who you're paying this kind of money because you know he's a difference maker. But going back to Matt Rhule, he's a college coach, and he's going to come in. He's going to have more guys than just Christian McCaffrey back there, which can preserve him and not give him the same kind of hits and take the toll similar to what Ty Gurley had to do because he didn't really have a backup running back while he was with the Rams.
Were you surprised at how it ended for Gurley?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm still waiting for the Rob Havenstein, you know, for him. I targeted guys at the end of the 2019 season that I said will not be back with the Rams. I felt it was going to be Todd Gurley. I felt it was going to be Brandon Cooks. I had Rob Havenstein there, Eric Weddle. I knew it was a contract. And also, I thought Michael Brockers, but obviously things didn't work out with the failed physical with the Baltimore Ravens. He now comes back to the Rams. And then also Clay Matthews, right? And a lot of people are going to look at the names, right? Oh, they don't have a lot of names coming back. But no one really looks at the depth that they've had, what they've done in the draft. So that's why I really was not shocked. I was not surprised. We just knew that the way that it was going to end for the Rams was that, look, we can't pay Todd Gurley this number and not get our money's worth, right? We've been to different restaurants. We've been to places, right? And you're like, okay, I'm not going to pay top dollar for, you know, a meal that I can make at home by myself, right? I want, if I'm coming here and I'm paying top dollar, I want top dollar production. And I knew the Rams were not going to get that with Todd Gurley. And there was no other way for it to do what than to just cut ties. Yes, there's going to be some money lost in there. That happens. But at the end of the day, the Rams are feeling a much better about themselves going forward, knowing that they can have a running back who can give them, hopefully, or maybe it's by committee, but can get the kind of production, you know, that they were getting from Todd Gurley previously to his injury.
Kirk Morrison hanging out with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. I was actually surprised that they didn't have to cut Brandon Cooks either. Like, I was surprised they were able to deal him. Were you?
Well, they got Bill O'Brien, right?
Right. I mean, he's the worst general manager in football by far right now.
You know what? So I'm always going to look at the opposite side, right? You know what I mean? Let me take Bill O'Brien's side of it. And this is something, George, because, you know, we can talk about him, but every year he's been winning, you know, pretty much the AFC South. And everybody's like, can he win next year? And I'm looking at George and just where our country is right now with this pandemic, with what's going on with the coronavirus. There is no offseason program. Yes, it's a virtual offseason program. That's right. Okay, I understand that part. But for me, going back to my career as a player, I needed the instruction on the field. That may not occur until training camp, or it may not happen at all. With that being said, George, the learning curve from college to the NFL, it doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in 2 weeks. For me, I caught on to it fairly quickly, but it took me an offseason to get it. I was ready to go by week one. With that being said, this draft coming up, I don't know if there's going to be a rookie who will have the impact than other rookies in past years who had the offseason to help them. So Bill O'Brien says, you know what? I'm going to get a guy who's played in a similar offense, okay, in Brandon Cooks. I'm going to bring in Randall Cobb. I'm going to bring in, still have Kenny Stills. I have Will Fuller. I'm bringing in veterans that, you know, similar to who I've worked with before, that can come in and play right away. I'm not relying on a rookie, right? You look at LeBron, right? LeBron is like, don't draft rookies. Give me veteran guys. I need guys who know how to win right now. I don't need guys that we're trying to develop. Sorry, the Lonzos and Brandon Ingrams. You know, I know I'm kind of swinging this to the Lakers, but I look at where Bill O'Brien is, and that's why he went out and got Brandon Cooks, because he's got a guy who understands what it takes to win, who's played in the Super Bowl on multiple teams. You can't get that kind of value. So as much as I know people are going to brag on Bill O'Brien, the Rams are trying to dump Brandon Cooks. And look, Bill O'Brien was more than willing to have a guy, but I think it works for him in this season upcoming.
All right, I guess. I mean, listen, good luck with him is what I would say.
They're going to win the division again, George. That's it. Just know that.
I mean, the division stinks, and they've got Deshaun Watson, so I think that's
the Patriots are winning a division that stinks every year. No one talks about them like, oh, they won a division that stinks, but they won the division, right? It's not their fault.
Yeah, yeah, but they, you know, they were really awesome. They won Super Bowls. Like, right. Bill O'Brien can't win a playoff game. You know what I'm saying? So I think that there's some of that.
Well, he won last year.
Well, right, he finally won one. But I also think that there is a sense of it's hard in any sport. Correct. To be the GM and the coach, right? Like, we've seen great coaches not being able to pull it off. So I think that there's some of that. Let's go to the draft a little bit.
Yes.
Mel Kiper. We'll start in the middle of the first round. Okay. Mel Kiper has the Raiders taken Jordan Love. Now, I believe you've potentially done some of his games.
Yes. Three last season. Three.
Okay, there you go. See, you go. I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
Would you do that if you were the Raiders, if he were there and the other guys are gone? Would you take a chance on Jordan Love? What is Jordan Love?
You know, that's the hard part, George, is a lot of people are still doing their homework on Jordan Love. You look at his tape from 2018, Jordan, you fall in love and you say, this kid's definitely a first-round draft pick. Then you look at 2019, he has a new offensive coordinator come in. He lost four of his top five wide receivers or pass catchers and touchdown makers in 2019, and he looked very pedestrian. And I saw him in the games that I did, and you see two or three throws that he makes a game, Jordan, you say, wow, that's an NFL throw. But then you see some inconsistent throws. You see some late throws to the outside. You see some things that you're like, you scratch your head on and say, I don't know, man. Can we still get the performance of 18 out of this kid now? That's what NFL GMs are going over right now. They're just going in their mind saying, if we take a draft pick on this kid, could he be the next Patrick Mahomes? That's what everybody says, because people missed out on Patrick Mahomes. They missed out on Deshaun Watson. They don't want to miss out again. And Jordan Love could be that guy. I'm just, George, the whole package, I just don't know. I don't see it. Would I get him in the second round? Yes. Would I get him, you know, if he's available in the second round? Absolutely. But I don't know if he's a first-round quarterback. Just from the games that I've done and watching him on tape, I think he's a, you know, it's make or bust. You know, basically, if you get him, he can be very good, but he can also has that bust factor as well, that you can waste a first-round pick on a guy who's just not ready for the NFL.
Right, and clearly you wouldn't play him this year, right? Like, you'd go with Carr.
Yeah, you have Carr and Mariota.
Or Mariota, right. Yeah,
so you got two guys on that that can play the quarterback that has starting potential. He's a guy that you're going to have to work into, right? He's not going to start day one. But if he finds the right spot, that's why everybody's really up in arms right now, because they think that Green Bay, where they're sitting at right now, could this be a situation where they draft a guy like Jordan Love and not put a timetable on Aaron Rodgers, but kind of use him as a bargaining chip two or three years down the road if Aaron Rodgers decides to do anything? Or, you know, at some point we saw what Garoppolo being drafted to New England and what that did, right? It gave them a solid backup for three seasons, and then Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft had to make a decision. They traded away. They got draft capital, but their quarterback, Tom Brady, still played at a high level. So I kind of like that decision for him to go somewhere where he doesn't have to play right away. Then I could see him being a guy who can be a legitimate starter in the league. But if he's playing right away, man, he's going to remind me a lot of where Dwayne Haskins is right now, who got drafted last year to the Washington Redskins.
Okay, fair enough. Where do you cut off the first round quarterbacks? Like, who are your guys in the first round? That if you said you wouldn't take Love in the first, where are you cutting it off?
Oh man, I honestly just love the top two right now.
Tua and Burrow.
Both guys who, you know, and I've watched Joe Burrow the last 2 years, and he's got it all, right? When I tell you the whole package, George, he doesn't necessarily have the greatest arm, but he's got an arm that he knows what he's got, right? He's got the leadership, right? You sit down with him, and you've done this before, George. You sit down with a guy, you talk to him for 5 minutes, you say, oh, yeah, I get it, right? There's an aura about quarterbacks. There's an aura about certain guys when they walk into a room. You just feel it. You feel the energy. You feel like, man, I want to play for this guy. That's Joe Burrow. That's Tua Tagovailoa. Now, when it comes to Justin Herbert, when it comes to the Jordan Loves, the Jake Fromms, and Jacob Eason's, right, there's this next group of quarterbacks that, you know, could a team that drafts late in the first round, could they go just pick a guy kind of similar to what Lamar Jackson, right, with Baltimore? They picked him late. Let him rest for, you know, a little bit of time, and then Joe Flacco was just so bad. It was like, all right, put the kid in. I think that you get it's Burrow, it's Tua, and then you have the rest, right? And those guys come, I think, you know, after the 20s. But Justin Herbert is making a lot of noise over there from Oregon. You know, to me, I'm like, dude, it is hard to draft quarterbacks. It really is. I just don't see it this year's quarterback crop compared to what's going to happen even next year, George, when you have Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and some of those guys coming out next year. So if you miss out this year, you still have a good crop coming out in the 2021 draft as well.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence and Fields particularly are those guys. So what do you make of Herbert, the kid from Oregon? You know what I'm saying? Like, real quick, yeah. And then would you take Tua? Like, what are you – even with all the injury concerns, would you take Tua?
Yeah, I'm taking Tua all day. It was a situation where, you know, he got injured, but he got injured in a situation in which he's doing a 2-minute drill. He honestly really shouldn't have been in there, but it was a freak accident. But, you know, he's cleared all the medical I mean, Tua has shown you everything. He's a great thrower, not only from the pocket, but extending the pocket, making plays down the field. I mean, I'm drafting Tua for sure. But
because the Dolphins are scaring me with all this Mel Kiper stuff about Herbert instead of Tua, man. Tua to the Chargers is where Mel has him.
The only thing I say this, and I learned this a long time from a couple of my buddies who are analysts, front office executives, right? They always told me this. He's like, Kirk, look, there are certain guys who you fall in love with during the season because you watch them grow and they make waves during the season. When they do that, never forget that, right? So Joe Burrow, the Tua Tagovailoa, those guys did what? They jumped out during the season because you saw their play. Justin Herbert kind of stayed the same.
Right.
People have only fallen in love with him after he got his height, after he weighed in, after, like, that has nothing to do with what we saw on the tape. The
measurables.
Yes, that's fine. But what we saw on tape, what we saw week to week, did that jump out at you when you watched Oregon football last year? And I'm sorry, it just didn't jump out at me. That's why I'm kind of bullish on Herbert, is because I didn't see those type of performances where every game, Burrow and Tua, they were on full display.
Yeah.
And you saw everything that they did, which made them rise up the charts, which we kind of already knew. Whereas Herbert was like, you watch Oregon, you say, I guess. You know what I mean? So that's why it's a little bit more for me. I'm always weary of guys who jump up the draft board in the offseason.
There he is, Kirk Morrison, friend of the program. Thank you so much for hanging out, brother. Get back to teaching. Remember S. Sedano Show, right?
Yes.
Today, Daddy was on the Sedano Show.
Yes.
We'll
talk. Lunchtime. Yes.
Oh, it's lunchtime. It's good.
Lunchtime,
what's for lunch today?
Then rest time, right?
Okay.
And then after that, then go for a nice little nature walk.
Oh, nice.
And then afternoon session, George. So,
all right, man.
Yes. The Morrison Academy is going right now.
You crazy. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Stay healthy.
All right. Sound good, George.
All right. Be good. There he is. All right. Final segment coming up. I told you. Hashtag because Florida. They're doing things that are going to ruin sports for us. I'm telling you, they're going to ruin it for us. And I'll tell you what it is next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of our interviews today, Kirk Morrison, our great senior shout-out, Mackenzie Graham. They've all been great. She was fantastic as well. We're super proud of her. Or Pedro Mora. You can check out the Interview on Demand section for the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Check out the podcast as well. Subscribe, download, rate, and review. And tell your friends, too. And do that on Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. We love you guys checking out the podcast. As a matter of fact, I got a lot of love yesterday, Greg, for us replaying the last 3 minutes of Kobe's last game. A lot of people listened to it on the podcast. So great job, Laura, for putting that together.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. I smiled the whole time listening to that. It was just such – being at that game was the best Laker game that I've ever been to in my life. It's not even close.
Right. That sounds awesome. It was awesome to listen to, for sure, and I'm glad John joined us after. So tomorrow, Momo's in the co-host chair with me, right? And then Michael's going to join us in the first hour, and then we've got Tim Kirkjian in the second hour, right?
Yep, that's right. And our senior shout-out as well.
And our senior shout-out as well in the second hour. And then Thursday, we'll have Jonathan Givony on. Clinton Yates will be joining us for a while, too. And then Friday, we may have Joey Chestnut. Because they're going to do Major League Eating is going to do an event. So Joey Chestnut may be joining us on Friday as well. So, now I did see Mason in Ireland. Lindsay did a great job getting John Hamm, because Ireland told us, where's our John Hamm there, Bergman? What's going on?
I'm doing what I can here. This is, you have to know your strengths and weaknesses as a person and as a producer, and booking guests, like big time guests like John Hamm, that has never been one of my strengths.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, we've seen that.
What's fine. If you're going to sit here and you're going to worry about how good a producer is based on the guest that they book, you're doing it wrong.
I mean, it depends. I like what you bring to the table, clearly. I chose you. But, you know, it'd be nice if you could get me a John Hamm every once in a while. Do I need to just call my agent and book the Hollywood people? Like, is that what we need to do?
Hey, we need to work together here, George. If you can get it through your agent, that's the best way to go. Then this is the way that we should go.
All right,
I like guests that fit within to the show and make the show.
Well, no, you did a great job last week with McVay and Roberts. Like I gave you a lot of love last week for that. But yes, you know, it's a new week.
It is a new week. What have you done for me lately, George? Yeah, and that's what's happening.
Janet Jackson, a very popular cult classic. Cult classic by Janet Jackson. So anyway, because Florida. So yesterday I told you guys, listen, I grew up there. I don't claim the northern part of Florida. They're the strange part. Not that the southern part is all that less strange, but just not as ridiculously strange. The northern part is Tiger King strange is the way I would explain it. The southern part is not that at all. So anyway, because Florida hashtag today, it started yesterday where their governor deemed the World Wrestling Entertainment Company, the WWE, as an essential business, which look, I love me some wrestling, but that's pretty absurd. Okay, let's start there. Secondly, now today, Greg, you're saying that they've extended that to what? All professional sports?
All sports. Florida is saying that all sports are essential and that if professional sports wants to start up in Florida, they will do it right now.
Oh, for the love of God.
It's just nuts. It's
they're
going to
get us
insanity.
All sick. We're all, you know, we're all going to, we're all, Jesus, Florida, to hell. I probably shouldn't have said that, but whatever.
Hey, that's your home state.
Jesus Amparo, ¿por qué? I told you, we don't claim the northern part. That's where the governor lives.
Right. Just insanity. Come on. I mean, this is just, first of all, sports, as much as they're our world and what we live in, they're not essential. WrestleMania, wrestling is 100% not essential. It is just entertainment. It's WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I think that's what it stands for. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It always has to be Florida. It always has to be. If the demise of this country will end up being Florida in some way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, I even mentioned – if you look at it, everything that happens in this country has a tie to Florida, usually the negative stuff, sometimes the good stuff, but mostly the negative stuff or the stuff we make a lot of fun of.
Right. Anything that happens is usually like it's a clown doing something weird or whatever it happens to be. It's always Florida.
Yeah. Just got the email back about Chestnut on it is what I was told. Boom. Our guy will be emailing us about Joey Chestnut here in a second. All right, we are done here. Thanks to Greg and Laura for a fantastic job as always, even though he didn't get me John Hamm. Thanks to you guys for tuning in, calling in. Thanks to Mackenzie Graham. Thanks to Kirk Morrison and Pedro Mora. You guys stay safe out there. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.